If you will this morning, turn back to our text this morning, which is back in Mark 9. And our text will be found in verse 23. And it reads this way. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Let us pray. O Lord, how great thou art, and how merciful and long-suffering thou art to thy people. O Lord, we thank thee for thy mercies that are new each day, and the mercies that you've given us today to draw us here to hear thy word. We pray, O Lord, and dependent upon thee this morning, that you would, A, open up our hearts and minds to receive that, Lord, which you would provide. And Lord, in thy faithfulness, make provision for our souls. Lord, loose my lips to speak thy everlasting gospel. May you be lifted up and may you be glorified. Father, I forget not this morning our brethren in Iowa and in Missouri who are grieving this morning, Lord. May you meet their need. May you meet it in thy Son. May you be pleased to bless us, Lord, with thy presence this morning. Lord, teach us that indeed we do believe, but Lord, help our unbelief. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As you know, faith is a gift of God. But do you also know it is a sign of election? That the faith of the Lord's giving is a sign that you are elected before the foundation of the world. In Acts 13:48, it reads this way, And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. That's how you and I believe. You know, we believe because we are born of God. It's not vice versa. It's not we believe and then we're born of God. We only believe because we are born of God. Because God, in His infinite grace and mercy, has blessed us with faith, saving faith. To believe. But as you'll see today, the problem with unbelief lies with us. It doesn't lie with the gift giver. It lies with us. The fact that we are sinful people, that we have a sin nature, that we're fallen sinners, He overcomes our inability. He overcomes our sin to reveal Himself, to reveal the purity of faith. We have faith because we're born again. But how to exercise that faith? We can't find that in us. Jesus said, truly, without me, you can do nothing. And that includes believing. Jesus said in Matthew 9:26, he said, according to your faith, be it unto you. Let those words sink down a minute. According to your faith, the faith that the Lord has given you, let it be unto you. You say, well, Paul said, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And that's true. Every child of God must be brought to see that and understand that and experience that. We live by the faith of the Son of God. But sustaining faith is a problem because of our sin nature. As I prepared this morning, I stood on my back porch and I was praying. And asking the Lord to meet me, as I do every Sunday morning, to reveal Himself to me. And as I was sitting there and praying, I looked up and there was an osprey flying over me. And it was flying around in a circle over me. And I was thinking, I was like, That's the way the Lord's presence is. He's there. He's there powerfully. And as I was thinking that thought, my mind drifted. And all of a sudden I looked up again and I saw the bird and it flew out of my sight. And I thought, that's the way faith is. It's fleeting. And I got a paralyzing moment. Like, am I going to have his faith today? Because my mind does wander. And right then, the bird appeared again. And not only did it appear, it came right over to where I was and flew around me in a circle. And the Lord said, I am with you always. See, he's the faithful one. I had to see that. And you need to see that. And that's what we see today in this passage. I want you to start with me where we come to verse 17 this morning. And one that was in the multitude. Okay, you know there was a great multitude, it said, and there were scribes questioning with the disciples. And Jesus had just asked, why are you questioning with my disciples? Because they were always trying to find something in error in Jesus and the disciples. And out of that multitude, this one answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son. And the first thing we see is faith. He's not faithless. He knew to bring his son to the master. He doesn't know much. But what he does know is I must bring my son to the master. Because what my son has, I can't fix. And listen, we're going to be told what his son has. And this is a very desperate time. It's a hopeless time. And he has nowhere to turn. And that is how the Lord prepares us. Now remember, we have faith because we're born of God. But how to exercise that faith and how to bring that faith to the third heaven, to where it's only affixed to Christ and it's only laying hold of Christ and it's only trusting Christ, is not found in us. But he did have small faith. And that small faith caused him to say to Jesus, I have brought unto thee my son. He believed that Jesus could heal. He may not know much, but he believed that Jesus could heal. And so he brought his son to the Lord. And he says he has a dumb spirit. And then in 18, he tells us the desperation of his situation. He says, wheresoever he taketh him, that's the spirit, the dumb spirit, the evil spirit, he tears him, he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and he pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Because his disciples are dependent upon Jesus too. And his disciples have no power unless the Lord gives them that power. And I thought about this situation this morning while I was sitting back there listening to David Reed. And the Lord brought to me, this is where we are spiritually. We're being torn inside. We're foaming. Maybe you've never experienced this. But we're in the thralls of Satan. And we're in the thralls of unbelief. But there's something present in us that cries out to the Lord. There's something present with us that doesn't leave us destitute, where we turn to seriously bad measures as the world turns to. Let's just end it. Let's put an end to this. No, we know that there's healing with the Master. And sometimes the violence of the trial, and sometimes the violence of what's going on in your soul, you don't even realize it. Because you went too far down the path of unbelief to where you're now numb. And when you're being torn and when you're being tossed about, you're in the thralls of defeat. And all of this is necessary to bring you to the end of yourself, to bring me to the end of myself. Because see, Jesus doesn't cooperate with self. He's not my co-pilot. He doesn't cooperate with me saying, "Oh Lord, I need you. Come and help me and we can do this together." You can do nothing without me, he said. Without me, you can do nothing. Has he taught you that? Has he taught you that your power lies in a person? Not a creed, not a doctrine, not even a gift of God. It doesn't lie in faith. It lies in the object of faith, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Master, I'm bringing you my son. He believed that Jesus could heal him. But there's something standing in the way of Jesus healing him. And I'm not telling you that we dictate the Lord's faith to us. All I'm telling you is we quench it by our unbelief, by our sin. Can he overrule that? Absolutely. You're going to see it. But how does he do that? He answers the prayer. He answers the prayer. With what though? Faith? No. Himself and all that he is. Dear ones, that's what we have to live in this present world. We need Christ to come to our soul. Not just once. I pray that every person in here hearing my voice today has been born of the Spirit. Has been born from above. And if you have, you've been blessed with faith. But you're just as dependent today as you were then when you were born again. You're just as needy today as you were then. Because the gifts are not gifts without the person of Christ. We need the person. I spoke to thy disciples and they should not cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answered him and he said, "O faithless generation," as he looks at the scribes and he looks at the Jewish nation who has followed him everywhere he's went and has seen the miracles, have seen him feed 5,000, have seen him heal people, have seen him bring the dead to life, have seen it all. And so Jesus upbraids unbelief again. He's not talking to his disciples. He's not getting on to them. He is telling the crowd, here's your problem. You still don't believe. You're a faithless generation. It doesn't matter what I've done physically in front of you, you still can't believe. And isn't that true? Even though we physically have the Word of God in front of us and we read it, we still can't believe. Not in and of ourselves. And so he says, "How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." This was the day of healing that Jesus came to heal this young man. But we know something else too. He came to heal his dad. He came to heal his soul. Because he's lacking. You and I, every day, when we wake up in the morning, we lack. You know why we lack? I can promise you, you lack. I can tell you why. Because you have a sin nature. And that sin nature will always be lacking Christ's presence. We have a new nature. We have Christ in us that never lacks and it never sins. But we have two warring nations in us. We have two warring natures in us. We're always, always dependent. As long as we're walking this earth, we are dependent upon it. Verse 20, they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tore him. The evil spirit. Straightway the spirit tore him, and he fell on the ground, and he wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long ago since the child came unto him? You don't think Jesus knew that answer? You don't think the omnipotent, all-knowing Lord didn't know that? Of course he did. But what's on display here? The glory of his power. That's the reason. Let's give all glory to God. This spirit didn't just come upon him. He's been in this child since he was young. And he says, of a child. That means even younger than he is now. How long is it ago since this child came? He said, of a child. And he says, oftentimes it has cast him into the fire. Can you imagine the desperation of this father who has witnessed his son being thrown into the fire? Because the evil spirit wanted to end his life. And then it would cast him into the waters because it wanted to end his life. And the father's desperation as he sees this over and over in his son, he cries out to the Lord. And look what he cries out to the Lord. You may think that it's an odd thing to say if he has seen all the miracles and there was a faith that brought him to Christ that said, I believe you can heal him. But in the thralls and the desperation of what's happening right in front of him, he says, but if thou canst, if you can do it, Lord. What is that? That's unbelief. That's uncertainty. That's neediness. That's looking at the trial and seeing desperation. If you can do anything, have compassion on us. Well, what is that? It's faith again. It's faith that credits the love of Christ and the compassion of Christ. That's what faith does. It latches on to Christ and His person. Have compassion on us. Notice he didn't tell Jesus his merit. Lord, I've done all these things. I've been coming to temple. I've listened to these people. I've attended these services. Isn't that what we do? Isn't that what the fallen nature does? This is why I'm worthy. But there's nothing like that. Faith looks at Christ and grabs hold of Christ. It looks away from self. Look away unto the author and finisher of our faith. He's the beginner. He's the sustainer of it. And he's the ender of it. And that faith always ends in Christ. Laying hold of Christ. And it begins laying hold of Christ. And it's sustained in laying hold of Christ. And in this desperation, he cries out for the compassion of Christ. Small faith. But enough to bring him there, huh? To lay hold of Christ's compassion. But he limited the power of Christ. That's what our unbelief does, doesn't it? Think about it. We limit the Holy One of Israel. We limit the power of Christ every time we have unbelief. And then we come to our text, because this is Jesus' answer to that. He said that if thou canst doesn't lie with me, but it lies with thee. It's not a matter of power. It's a matter of faith. And there's something wrong with this gentleman's faith, as there is every person in this room. That faith is dependent upon the Lord. As long as we have a sin nature, we do have unbelief. And I want you to understand today, that is what quenches faith. The Lord's still there. That's what puts faith down. The power of Christ is there. And that's how merciful and loving He is. That even though our unbelief pushes Him away, He overrules it. I put to you today that the power in Christ's voice here is the same power that He said to His disciple when His disciple said, "How can we know the way?" And He said, "I doubt." And it was doubting. Thomas, he doubted so much. And the Lord said, "Be not faithless, but believing." And you know what He said? "My Lord and my God." See, that's the purity of faith. Faith is in the person of Christ. And when we lose sight of the person of Christ because of our unbelief and our sin, that's when things go bad. That's what Jesus said. If you canst believe, if thou canst believe, Jesus puts it all on His faith. And then He says this. He says, all things are possible to him that believeth. What does that mean to you this morning? That little word, all. I mean, do you start to dispel it in your mind with your unbelief? Well, yeah, I know He said all things are possible, but what about, He doesn't know what I'm going through. I know we're that silly at times. You don't understand the power of what I'm going through. You don't understand. Listen, this one is gnawing. He's just being torn apart. The Father is in such great despair and anguish of soul. He's being emptied of Himself. And Jesus wants him to know, listen, the problem is with unbelief. It's not with my power. Because if you do believe, all things are possible. That spirit being cast out of him, all things are possible. You believing that I can heal him, all things are possible. This faith, this purity of faith is a childlike faith. You say, wait a minute. No, I want you to go back in your minds. I want you to go back to your childhood. Way back to your childhood. Way back to when mama or daddy said, "We're eating at 6 o'clock. And you got to the table at 6 o'clock because you believed them. And where you were scared and mom and daddy come to you, mom or daddy came to you and said, "Listen, this is the problem you have. Go back to sleep." And you believed them and you went back to sleep. A childlike faith trusts everything. I remember those days for me. I really do. I remember that when I was troubled with something, I'd say something to my mom or my dad, and whatever they said, I believed them. Whatever I went through, I believed them. They said it was going to get better, and it did. And I believed them. Now, I said this is early. Because see what happens as you go on in life? That's not the case anymore. Because the things they say that are going to take place, they're not God. So they don't. And that trust goes away. But this faith is like the faith of a child that just trusts everything that Jesus says in His Word. Everything. It doesn't question. We might not be able to explain it. I might not be able to explain to you the depth of the three in one, the Trinity. But I believe it. I may not be able to explain to you how His mercies are new every day, but I believe Him. And I may not be able to explain to you the depth of what it means that He stood in my place. As much as I try to enter into it, as much as I try to believe, but I know it's true. I do know it's true. Lord, I believe. He's given me that faith to believe. What about you? This faith. Turn with me over to Matthew 17. This is Matthew's account of this, what happened. But Jesus says something at the end of this account that I want you to see. Remember, our account, we didn't read down that far. David didn't read down that far. But the disciples came to him and they asked him, why couldn't we do this? And Jesus told them in our account today that this type is only by prayer and fasting needs to be cast out by prayer. What is prayer and fasting? Yeah, I don't mean what the world says it is. I mean, what is it in Christ's eyes? Well, you know what that is? That's unbroken communion with the Lord, isn't it? Prayer and fasting. True prayer and fasting is a mindset. Your mind's on Christ. That's the illusion being meant here. But look at 20. Look at 19. Then came the disciples of Jesus apart, and they said, "Why could not we cast him out?" And Jesus said, "Because of your unbelief." Wait a minute. What do you mean our unbelief? We follow you everywhere we go, but you still have a fallen nature. See, we like to look at that in other people, but we have a problem when we look at it in ourselves. Oh no, I believe. You're going to see real faith here in a minute. You're going to see the purity of faith. When this man cries out, "Lord, I believe, help mine unbelief." That's the purity of faith. He sees his warring natures. He sees that he can't come without Christ. That's the trueness of faith. That's the purity of faith. That's the faith that says, "Give me Christ or else I die." And Jesus said, "For verily I say unto you, if you have the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you will say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." That's where we get that phrase, faith moves mountains. And yes, we say that's the mountains of doubt, it's the mountains of sin, it's that. Yes, faith moves that. But only the purity of faith. The faith of the Son of God. Not the faith that we have at times that our unbelief quenches in a moment. You see where I'm headed with this? You see where Jesus is headed with this? We are dependent. I know many in the religious circles today that believe that because they believe they're born again, and because that day they got faith, they can exercise that faith any day they want to. And I always ask those people, "Why don't you? Then why do I see the ugliness come out in you? Why do I see you murmur and complain?" If truly you can exercise it in any of the time you want to, why is it we don't exercise it all the time? Are we just stupid? Well, to answer that, yes, we are. But we're also dependent. Dependent on Him. None of Christ's gifts that He gives causes the child of God to go away from Christ. The love that He gives us, the faith, the grace, the mercy, the long-suffering, it brings us to Christ. We don't take that gift and then run from Him with it. Oh, I've got your love. Let me go talk to these people. I've got your joy. Let me go do this. No. His gifts bring you to Him. To Him. That's what faith is. That's what love is. And then when we love Him, then and only then do we have the love to love others. That's the love that He loved us with. This is the way we only love Him. Faith is the same way. We can't believe without Him. And that's what Jesus said. Remove hence to this yonder place and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Once again, not what the religious world says it is. Oh, you need to make a time that you fast, and you need to do this, and you need to make a prayer time, and I'm such a great prayer warrior. We're talking about the purity of the Holy Spirit revealing Christ in you at these times. That's what prayer is. The Holy Spirit breathing life into you and breathing life out of you to pray to Christ in communion with Christ. No other thoughts, no other. That's what prayer is. And that's what fasting is. That's why you can go 40 days without food that we see these people. They're fasting in the wilderness or whatever they're doing. Why? Because they're sustained by the grace of God. And you're sitting there going, I couldn't go 40 days. That's right. Because faith believes all things are possible. Faith, the true faith of Christ. Now I got good news for you. He's faithful. He's the one who's called you. He will do it. He is the faithful one to give this faith. I'm not putting this on you. Don't ever think that. Our dependency is of Him. Let's go back to our text. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Believing is the greatest exercise of your mind. The true faith of Christ is the greatest exercise your mind will ever do. Now think about that. And it'll never be done by you. The greatest your mind could ever achieve while on this earth is not something you can do. That makes sense, doesn't it? That's His almighty power, is to lay hold of Him, to trust Him, to believe in Him. Faith always trusts Christ, always, and doesn't question Him. I think of the ones the Lord had blessed with in the Word of God. I think of Simeon when Jesus was born. And he lifted up Jesus and he held him in his arms. And after he got done holding him in his arms, he said, now I'm ready to depart. That's faith. I've seen the Son of God. I've seen, and he was a baby now. He saw the Son of God. He saw the Messiah. He knew, oh Lord, take me now. The promise of the Messiah has been fulfilled. Because why is that? Why was that so important? Because he believed. But the Lord helped his unbelief. All of them believed. All the Old Testament people believed. They all believed in the Messiah. But they still doubted. Just as you and I believe that Christ will come again. But sometimes we doubt it. Right? Lord, I believe your word says you'll come again. I believe in your resurrection. I believe in the day of judgment. I believe, Lord, that you're going to do all the... But we don't live that way. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. All the way down to the lady who was in the thralls, and Jesus was walking through, and she snuck up there and took her finger and touched the hem of his garment. Remember that one? Jesus said, oh, virtue just went out of me. It wasn't her finger. It wasn't the finger. It was the object of her finger. It isn't the finger we look at and go, wow, if it wasn't for her finger, if it wasn't for her reaching out to Christ that way. No. We look and say, Christ gave her the faith to come to him. And just that finger. Just that little finger. And the Lord saying, this is my child. He came with power to her. And we see this all throughout the scriptures. We see in different measures faith. And what did I read to you? According to your faith, be it unto you. And then we see the result, don't we? We see the result in the next one. And straightway. So Jesus says to them, if thou canst believe. Now there's power coming with this. It's not, you said to me, if you can do anything. You said there was something lacking in my power. That's what he said. This is the love of Christ now. He's not pushed away by this gentleman's sin of unbelief. He overrules it. He puts it away. And he says, you said to me, if you can do anything, I say to you, if you can believe. See, the problem's not with me. The problem's with your fallen nature. And all the time Jesus is saying this, what's taking place in him? What's taking place? Now, what's still going on? The boy's sitting there still going through this with the evil spirit, right? There's no healing taking place. Or is there? There's not a physical healing in that boy, but there's a spiritual healing in soul. How do I know that? Well, the text tells us. Straightway, immediately, when the Lord said this, you doubt my power? Let me show you my power. And the Lord comes with faith. And immediately that faith lays hold of him. And he's emptied of himself. And he looks in himself. And he is in great despair still. Because he does have unbelief. And he sees his inability. His incapability. His incompetence. Whatever you want to call it. He can't come to Christ the way that he needs to come to Christ. There's just too much. And the Lord says, okay, I will fix your mind on me. And when he does that, the answer is, Lord, I believe. Don't miss the Lord part. Lord, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Savior, Messiah, Son of God. I believe. I do believe. He saw himself as he was. That's what faith reveals. Our state. What we are before Christ. Needy sinners. But we have faith. Because faith reveals what Christ has done. Faith reveals the faithful one. And he said, Lord, I believe. Help thou, mine unbelief. I need your help, Lord. I believe you, but I can't get there. I can't get to where I need to be. Last place we'll go, turn me over to Luke 17. I want you to listen to what the disciples said. I guess we'll just start at one. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that the offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hung about his neck and cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Talking about his children. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. That's in love, dear ones. That's not, oh, you terrible person. That's in love for his soul. Rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. Okay. And if he trespass against thee seven times, he does this seven times to you in a day, and then seven times he turns to you again saying, I repent, then you forgive him again. Jesus, of course, means perfection. He's talking about, listen, as many times as he comes back and he repents, you forget him. Well, you know what? That blew their mind. And it blows my mind. Because that's the forgiveness of Christ he's talking about. Who's not pointing out sins. Who put our sins away. Who's forgotten them. That's Christ. And then the disciples said what? And the apostles said unto him, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. I can't lay hold of that. And he's only talking about forgiveness. Lord, I'm not capable of that. Increase our faith. You know what they were saying? Lord, we believe you, but help our unbelief. And then what does Jesus say to them? Look at verse 6. If you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Is that the purity of faith? Nobody in here going to walk around and go out there to one of those sycamore trees and stand up to it and say, you get out of here and go be plucked in to go to the sea. We don't have that faith to believe that. We don't. But the Lord says, the purity of what I give, I'm the author and finisher and sustainer of, that's what's possible. Now let's go back to our text. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. You know what that is? That's Lord, I believe. Help mine unbelief. Yet not I. That's our unbelief. That comes right back. Paul says, no, it's not me. That's our problem. We have this warring nature. He says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, in my body, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What did he just tell us that faith looks to? The salvation that's in Christ. Who loved me. Faith and love always are inseparable. Faith brings us to Christ and Christ reveals his love for us. John said this in 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And I tell you, when this gentleman came to Jesus, that little bit of faith he had, the faith that he had to bring him there, was enough to bring him to Christ. And then Christ emptied him. And Christ filled him with himself. See that? All of him. It had to be the faith of the Lord's given to bring him and draw him there. You say, well, he went to the disciples first. Isn't that what we do? We go to the doctors. We go to the internet. We go to family members. We go to people we love to help us. How often do we go to the throne of grace to obtain mercy in our time of need? I'll tell you how many times when he draws us in the day of his power. That's when we're willing. And that's what Jesus wants us to know this morning. He's faithful. Don't dispute my power. The if thou canst lies with thee, not with me. I hope you see that this morning. I hope you see your neediness for it. I hope you see that the Lord has put a desire in your soul, in your heart. And if he's done that, faithful is he who has begun it, who will finish it. He's faithful. Now let's look at how the Lord ends this. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. He's been made whole. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead. He was left. That's how violent this evil spirit was. He was left on the ground, and everybody around just looked at him like he's dead. And let me tell you something. When we're going through the thralls of these trials sometimes, people around us think we're dead. I've heard that said to me many times in my life. Well, you sure don't look joyful. You sure don't look happy. You look like you're dead. There's something wrong with you. You're right, there is. And the Lord is dealing with me. Because see, He's sovereign over His joy too. And He's sovereign over that love and everything to give it in His time, and it's always perfect. But He allows us to experience the depth of the depravity that's in us. And all the time holding on to us, and all the time not allowing us to stray no more than He's ordained. We're kept by the power of God unto salvation. And He's left there dead, right? But Jesus took Him by the hand and He lifted Him up. And He arose. And that's the only ones, only way, dear ones. When Christ comes to us and He lifts us up. And we go in His strength and His power. And then He lifts us up and we arise. We arise to the newness of life that we have in Christ Jesus. May the Lord add His power and His clarity.